All right, I put up the poll question based on Abdallah's thoughts. It was a really good thought by Adam Abdallah. And the Toyota Twitter poll is up. Visit your Chicagoland Toyota dealer today for the Now's the Time sales event. Now's the time to score a great deal at your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer.
Give us a deal.
I said, do you believe Tom Brady did know what down it was, but was trying to cheat and tried to talk the NFL referees into giving the Bucks another down?
I voted no.
Yes or no. It is live on my Twitter handle. You can vote at Waddle and Sylvie, and we will give you the results.
It's not necessarily cheating.
Well,
I just think he's trying to pull a fast one, like intentionally deflating footballs.
Well, trying to get a fifth down is cheating.
It's trying to pull a fast one.
I mean, you guys already went after him for being a bad sport, so he might as well cheat, right?
Yeah, that's not you. Look, you're not going to win the Walter Payton Award.
No.
Walking off the field, not shaking Nick Foles' hand.
Not a good
hand,
football citizen last night there at Soldier Field, eh?
Right. You know, Walter Payton Award for you, Mr. Brady.
You get out of here.
You have your new mansion in Clearwater.
This is standard, isn't it? Like when he loses, I think most of the time
he
leaves, doesn't he? I mean, there's a trend here.
Yeah, at least Belichick will like give you a limp fish handshake, you know. But he's there for it.
Yeah,
barely.
Big Nick.
That's the
barely.
Worst.
Like I mean,
would
like
you rather have when times go back to normal? Would you rather have someone just walk away from you when it's handshake time, or would you rather get the limp fish?
Just go. I mean, I don't care. Either way, it's like, if you don't want to shake hands, don't shake hands. Go in your locker room, soap up, shower up, get on your bus, go home.
But isn't that the worst when someone just gives you their hand and there's no, like, muscle behind it? It's just them completely letting go of all their
great
muscles.
To see you. Great to see you. Here's my shake, and it's not a very good one.
I think it's worse when someone's a short grabber. When they grab your fingers in the handshake.
Oh, that's terrible, yes. I mean, and I've got a small hand to begin with.
They can't do web to web.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you kind of, like, separate your fingers when you come in for a handshake?
Somebody knows. Some people just grab onto the fingers.
Yes. And then it makes you feel like your hand is even shorter than
it really
is.
But then do they bring you in for the bro hug afterwards?
I hope not.
No?
Not now. Like, all those times are gone.
Oh, there was plenty. I guarantee you there were plenty of bro hugs out there last night. Tom Brady just didn't want. Tom Brady knew he screwed up. Tom Brady is not a very good loser because he always wins. I mean, I don't blame him because he never loses. Like, he probably doesn't know how to behave when they lose. That's what happens when all you do is win.
Yeah, yeah. And then you try to cheat with error and and throwing your phone away.
Yeah, that's
and,
not
and right. Trying for fifth down.
You're not even cheating. You're just trying to convince somebody that something is
that's
what
cheating.
It is that it's not.
Trying to get an extra down on the game-winning drive is cheating. That is knowingly cheating. That is like you playing Monopoly, Waddle, and it says go to jail, then you tried to grab another card saying, no, it doesn't say go to jail.
Well, that would have
it
been
says,
like, no.
Pass, go and collect $200.
If Tom Brady goes to the sideline, and you know that down marker that the guy, you know, when goes from second to third, he gone over to the sideline and then done that,
I
then
feel
your
like,
example would have been better.
Yeah, I feel like this is just like your wife catches you looking too long as opposed to you, like, getting the hotel room. When it comes to cheating, you guys aren't putting those two together.
Sounds like a topic.
Now you're really good conspiracy theory.
No, I'm just saying. I don't think he tried to cheat. I think he was just trying to. There's a difference between cheating and trying to pull a fast one.
He panicked.
He panicked.
This is trying to. This is trying to sell.
It's third down. It's not fourth down. He panicked.
Is this LeBron flopping? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. There you go.
Yeah. This is like a flop.
I'm with you on the just trying to pull a fast one because he wasn't freaking out. He just kind of stood there and slowly left the field.
He was like, what?
He didn't run over and try to pull the like go to the tape.
Yeah. He just holds up. No four. Okay. All right.
Are you kidding?
Really?
I blew that stop.
Maybe he got hit in the head earlier in the game because the pass rush was vicious.
Fantastic.
Like, he's not going to get a yellow card for it if this was a soccer flop, but the ref would be like, dude, come on, get up.
I'm going to tell you, too, if you go back and look at the film, I may be 100% wrong, but I think I'm 99.9% right. If he checks that ball down to the running back, like, who's at the sticks, not only did he not know what damn down it was. Watch this. Watch him. What? You guys just saw him play on television. The running back is standing there. And he's like, oh, no, I'm going to try to throw it downfield.
He turned into Mitch in front of our eyes for one play. Nick Foles made Tom Brady turn into Mitch for one play.
So now I'm 100% right about what I thought I saw. The back is coming out of the backfield, and if he throws the ball to the back, it's a first down. He decided to throw it into a spot where it was being perfectly covered.
Iron sharpens iron. Don't I get another down? I missed the running
back. Okay, you know what? You leave that kid on the sideline handling this thing with good grace and maturity all by you. Know, okay, don't
you guys
you
see
just, so don't on. Open the Hold door on. To open all the people on Did Twitter that wants to tell you things.
See Nagy and Foles trying to have a conversation with some of the players, and then he's trying to peer in. He's like sidling up right behind.
Like, what's going on here?
Where Nagy's moving his shoulder and trying to like...
Yurko right said, did you hear what Yurko said today?
No.
Yurko said while Foles and Nagy were having the debate about going up-tempo or not, and Mitch is trying to get in on the conversation that Mitch really wanted to tell him about his new bike. Hey, guys, I got a new bike. I thought Yurko was awesome today. The good kid.
That's so disrespectful.
You guys saw him trying to butt in on that.
Yeah.
You saw it.
Kids What's going on over here?
Kids handled this like
what
a champ.
You guys saw him football?
Let him be. Come on.
I got a new bike.
But how many did the number of people screaming at you on Twitter about Mitch doesn't miss that throw, did that diminish?
I didn't get it yesterday.
Oh, well, you didn't? Okay, good.
I didn't read as much because they were coming in fast and furious.
Trubisky was trending on Twitter towards the middle part of that game
yesterday. I think
there
were some people that thought that a change was coming.
Well, no.
First half.
Well, you know why? Because someone tweeted, someone sent me like, oh, Trubisky's got his helmet on. What does that mean? I want to respond. They're going into halftime. He doesn't want to forget it. Like, he doesn't want to leave it.
Listen, I mean, like, listen to what all of us are saying here. Okay.
Saying that Tom Brady is cheating and that Mitch.
No, Nick is not a perfect quarterback, and there are going to be moments where he's going to frustrate you like he did last night in the first half. But that's what I said. Like, I'm saying, listen to all of us say that, okay? But barring injury, that change isn't coming. Like, Nick Foles could play like poop for three quarters, and it's not. The decision has been made.
He's also going to make that perfect, like, rainbow throw to Montgomery when you need to get a first down, or like when you need, he's going to make that perfect.
Nick? Yeah. Yeah. That's who Nick Foles is. Nick Foles is going to miss Mooney on that corner route. And then he's going to completely die. I urge everybody when you can go on to your Twitter machine.
Well, do you want to play now for everybody?
Well, see Emmanuel, but I think
we got it.
Telling people when you hear this, when you get a chance, then go look at it too, because the visual will help you as well.
Send them to their Twitter machine. They're listening to us.
They can do both. Don't treat everyone like an animal that only, you know, poops and eats.
All right. So you don't have to go to your Twitter machine. Take a listen to Emmanuel Acho yesterday. And remember, Emmanuel Acho was on Philadelphia, okay? He's retired now. He's working over for Fox. But he was teammates with Nick Foles, and he buys what Nick Foles does well for a team. And listen to him dissect this play to Montgomery.
Nick Foles is exactly who should be starting for the Chicago Bears, and he will show you why in just 13 seconds. The game is on the line. The Bucs are in an all-out blitz. They're bringing more than the Chicago Bears can block. Nick Foles recognizes that. He motions Montgomery back. But watch what he sees first. Shaquille Barrett, who was blitzing, he gives a quick little hand signal to the safety, Winfield. He says, hey, I'm calling my blitz off. I'm going to now peel the running back, meaning if the running back releases, he's on me. So Foles sees that first. Now listen to the communication afterwards. He says, hey, Three's dead. He talks to his left tackle, Charles Leno. He says, hey, one, two, three. Shaquille Barrett, he's dead. He's not blitzing anymore. He's going to peel a running back. Charles Leno's like, okay, bet. We good then. Now listen to the next communication. After Foles says that, he now talks to Allen Robinson. And he says, hey, rub. When Shaquille Barrett peels, I need you to rub Shaquille Barrett so that David Montgomery can be set free. And just like that, in 13 seconds, Nick Foles wins the game for the Chicago Bears. That's exactly why that man deserves to be the starter.
And it's perfectly described. I mean,
can we play the whole play and listen? I want the listeners to listen to this. Again, listen to everything he does before the snap. It's not get the ball and then look to see. It's reading the reading the defense before you even get the football. Take a listen to everything Nick Foles does to set this play up.
Do they try to run now that Villavea is out of the lineup?
Easy.
Come the team Nunez Roaches takes over.
People, people, rock. Sunday.
Just got it away. This is flipped for Montgomery. Perfect throw by Foles. And a big completion by number 9 for 17 yards, and now they are well inside field goal range.
See, you heard it like three's dead, rub. And like, that's what I'm telling you when I say to you, he knows, he's a professional quarterback that knows how to put people in position to make plays. Again, he's not going to make all these throws.
Right.
But other quarterbacks, it's not just Mitch, there are other quarterbacks that aren't as good at understanding the game and helping others inside your offense a huddle as Nick Foles. That's where there's the trust. When we talk to you month after month after month with regard to the trust that exists between this new coaching staff and the head coach, that's the best example of that that anyone could ever give you. It doesn't mean Nick's perfect. Doesn't mean Aaron Rodgers has taken over and is now quarterbacking the Chicago Bears. When you talk about the trust that exists between a coaching staff, particularly the head coach and a play caller, and a quarterback, that quarterback becomes the head coach, play caller, and play designer on the field at times, and you saw that.
All right, let's get to calls. Kendall in Rogers Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Kendall?
Hey, guys, I appreciate the call. Sylvie, I want to say Sylvie Strong, of course. And
thank
essentially,
you.
I just wanted to say that, you know, the original question that I called for was my favorite moment last night. I loved when Mac sacked Brady. That was amazing. And then he just got in his face. Brady looked at him, threw his arms up. I felt like that was just, you know, a big turning point in the game, and kind of when Brady just felt like he didn't get back in it mentally at that point.
He rolled his eyes when he saw it
exactly.
Was Khalil Mack, yeah.
I'm glad you guys saw that. You know, it was a moment where I felt like he got in his face, and, you know, that's Mack for you, but Brady did not have it, and it was a big turning point in my opinion. But I had one question for you guys. You know, I think this is on everyone's mind when we see Foles go so streaky like he did yesterday. Do you guys feel like we, you know, made the decision too soon to get rid of Trubisky in the starting spot? How do you guys feel about that?
No, I think they made the decision. They wanted to run their offense. He's been waiting 2.5 years to really open up his playbook. Again, you may decide that you don't like his offense or he's not good running his own offense, but he wanted to include every play in his arsenal and be able to call it on Sundays, or in this case, Thursday night. I think he made the decision. It's about trust. He made the decision to bring in a guy that he trusts. And listen, that's what he should have done. And now, as I said to you earlier in the week, it's all out there to see. No more curtain. The curtain is pulled back now. You've got your coaches. You've got your personnel. And now you have a quarterback you trust. What you got?
Yep. All right. We'll get through all of your calls. And Waddle takes a victory lap next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, let's give some love to Waddle. We'll take all your phone calls, 312-332-3776. But it was Waddle who came in yesterday. He just looked at the boys when he walked in, and he said he had a feeling, even though he's
hated
everything.
Thought it was gas.
Yeah.
Thought it was.
And then after you thought it was gas, you made a prediction, and Chris Black summarizes it all, and we allow you to take a victory lap. You got on the phone, and you said, Bears are winning tonight.
Yes.
And then by the end of the call, you said, I can't pick the Bears. I got them at 3-2. They're going to be 3-2.
Now I'm back to I'm picking them.
Third down and 10.
That's Mike Evans there in the slot.
Good protection. Vaughn. Incomplete. Big hit by Kyle Fuller. And now flag is thrown very late.
Have you never had a hunch in your life? Never? You've never had a hunch in your life?
That tonight's going to be a good night. That tonight's going to be a good night. That tonight's going to be a good, good night.
41 seconds left. And now one timeout for the Bears.
They like Jimmy Graham down here in the red zone.
Bulls end zone. What a catch! Graham! Touchdown!
Telling you right now, my prediction is the Bears win.
Boy, he has taken a lot of punishment tonight.
He was not sacked last week.
And he's sacked here. That'll be number three on the night, and he looks into the face of Khalil Mack again.
Do they try to run now that Villavea is out of the lineup?
Easy, easy.
Team Nunez Roches takes over. Just got it away. This is clipped from Montgomery.
Perfect throw by Foles.
And a big completion by number nine for 17 yards. And now they are well inside field goal range. 38-yard try. And again, Bears fans know nothing is a given with the kicking game here recently. Santos got it.
Have you never had a hunch in your life? Never? You've never had a hunch in your life?
Got it. Fourth down and five. Brady passes, broken up, incomplete, and the Chicago Bears are going to take over. DeAndre Houston Carson was there for Chicago. Got it.
I don't know if Brady, I think he, the way Brady reacted and hold up his fourth, I think he thought it was third down.
And Brady's still standing out there. But that's fourth down, and it's Chicago's ball. And that's the end of the night. Nick Foles has helped the Bears along to a 4-1 start, their first since 2012. It wasn't pretty at times. The Bears have work to do, but Foles ends up on top and gets his first win as a starter with the Chicago Bears and his first overall over his last six tries.
I'm telling you right now, my prediction is the Bears win. Damn right. Isn't that a perfect description as well, coming from Joe Buck at the end? It wasn't pretty. The Bears have a lot of work to do. But the Bears are 4-1, which is
you read my description. And the highlight is all the highlights courtesy of Fox. It was so refreshing to watch a game with the number one crew. Yeah, and Aikman, you heard the Aikman thing too. Said this is where they go to Jimmy Graham, and bam, there's Jimmy Graham with the touchdown. And like after dealing with Dick Stockton in the opener and a couple games with Jonathan Vilma, it's like good to get the A team. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Dissect that football. Yeah. Good job by you, too.
Well, you know. Like I said, it was a hunch.
Great job by Black putting that together.
My football brain told me that the Bucs were going to win that game, but I went with my heart instead of my brain. I usually go with my brain.
And you thought you were in big trouble when it was 13-0.
Like, our text chain was filled with expletives and unhappiness. It just was. I mean, like, that was one of those games where there was a lot of anger being exchanged between people.
It was possibly also like the best case scenario for winners, because if you bet the Bears to cover, they did, obviously.
Yes.
If you bet the Bears money line, they did, yes, obviously. If you had the
under,
that won. If you had the not the first half under. If you had the Bucks in a teaser, winner.
And by the way, just let me interject this. I felt that there was a little bit of rooting against the Bears to score that second touchdown at the end of the first half so somebody could cash a ticket.
Oh, yeah, I felt that way, too. I felt that way, too.
No, I was talking about the first half under before the Bears got the football back. Oh, you're talking about in the text chain.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I wanted money. I did. But I did jump on the Bears when they were down 13-0 and took the Bears at plus 12.
There you go.
So I was trying to middle it because I did take the Bucks on the money line.
I'm telling you, like, it was the epitome.
Oh, that was a loser, too.
It was the epitome of the entire season, wasn't it? It was a microcosm of what we've seen so far. It's a roller coaster. It goes up, it goes down. You puke, you're exhilarated, your hands, you're high-fiving, you're cleaning yourself after you puke all over yourself.
Yeah, you're disgusting. Drinking
because you're depressed. Then you're having a celebratory beer. It's like you're all over the map.
Yeah, I got to give you numbers in a bit, but I want to get to David in Highwood. He's been patient. David, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing? How you doing, Sylvie?
We're good. Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Sylvie Strong. Yep.
Thank you. No problem.
Yes. Well, I'm just calling. I agree with one of the other callers when he said about, you know, Foles, that one drive was on a roll and Nagy calls a timeout. You know, I almost felt like I'm talking to the TV. I'm like, it's like letting your kids out. They want to go outside, have some fun. And then you're like, nah, come inside, forget having fun. But anyways, I want to get to a point with the play calling. Yeah, it's all on Nagy, But I saw so many things last night. I was so frustrated watching the game, especially the first half. But even like the fourth quarter, what does Nagy do? He decides to throw it. I forgot, what was it, second down, I think it was, second or third. He decides to throw it instead of killing the clock to give Brady the ball back. Brady could have had it back with less than a minute.
I'm with you, David. I'm with you. That's a point that you know, maybe there's some people that love that killer instinct. We're going for the kill shot here. Not me. I'm not giving Tom Brady over a minute to get, you know, to get down the field in field goal range.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then I wasn't happy with also a lot of penalties. Of course, it was, what, second and 30? So let's run with Montgomery up the middle for 2 yards. Then it's third and 27 or third and 28. I mean, you know, and then some other plays, and the one I want to talk about is this one especially. He throws to Montgomery. Okay, I get it. You know, right in the line of scrimmage. The defense knows it. He gets hit right away. No gain or a loss. Next one, it's like Patterson. Oh, let's throw to him 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He gets tackled. And then they kept getting, you know, first and 10. Let's run up the middle. You can't run on him. And, you know, Montgomery, 1 yard or no yards. And then it's always second and nine, second and eight, second and nine. And then, of course, you know, you got to throw it. It's incomplete. And guess what? It's third and long. And it was like that all the time. It gets frustrating. That's all. Yeah. I think Nagy's got to change that up.
Listen, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think it's such a combination of everything. Like, mm-hmm. You've got a play called, and then Daniels gets hurt, and Bars comes in, and you know he's coming in cold. He gets beat right away. Now you're behind the chains.
Trying to protect him.
It's a thousand little mistakes that keep happening that can't happen because they accumulate. It's player error. And there are moments where you ask yourself, what is the coach trying to accomplish here? So when you put it all together, it really becomes a fairly frustrating evening of watching the offense for the coaches, for the players, and for those of us sitting on our couches as well.
Thanks, David. Victor, let's get to Victor in Oak Park. Hey, Vic, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey.
I just wanted to call, let you guys know.
Yeah.
If Quinn doesn't scoop up that ball, we don't get a possession, we lose the game last night.
Is this Cap?
Take that.
Is that there?
Yeah, it's me, Kaplan. So we're in the TV studio last night giving away game balls like we do. My turn comes around, I say, Robert Quinn. Why? Because without Quinn scooping up that ball, we lose the game. I look around, Lance Briggs, 7-time Pro Bowler, Olin Krutz, future Hall of Famer, I think. They're both looking at me in amazement, and they almost practically carry me up on their shoulders, take me out of the studio like I'm Buddy Ryan or something.
I think they thought were more like Rudy at the end of the movie Rudy. Yeah.
Take that. Oh, also, so this morning I come down to the station. I walk in.
That's your dog.
Danny.
Is that Yoshi in the background?
That's Yoshi. I look at Danny. I say, hey, Hoodie, guess what? If Robert Quinn doesn't pick up that ball, we lose that game.
You're really focused on the Robert Quinn picking up the football.
That's right. All morning. That's right. Hoodie called him out on it. And that's a good impression, Victor. Thank you. Hoodie kept saying to him, he's like, dude, you've made that point 5 times this morning. And then Cap would go, it's a good point, though.
With that point.
And then Hoodie would go, we know that's a good point. You've made it 5 times already.
Daddy likey. It's one of those things in sports that you give credit to, which should be assumed, right?
Goldfish. Right. Pick up the damn ball.
Yeah, like defensively, that's what you're taught. You're taught to never stop. If there's a ball on the ground, dive on it.
Well, did he tell Lance Briggs when he was with him yesterday that Lance was the one who didn't pick up the ball against Green Bay?
You know what? Why'd you pick that scab?
I'm just
pick that scab? Like, that thing is already, it's scarred over. Like,
dog.
I mean,
Ryan in Lamont, you're on ESPN 1000. Hi, Rye.
Hey, what's up, boys? Happy Victory Friday. First things first, I mean, what a circus show of a game last night. There was so much content. on good side and both bad side, but nevertheless, I was on the edge of my seat. But I wanted to comment on both your questions from earlier and about Tom Brady and the best play. First of all, the best play, hands down, of the game was Khalil Mack sacking Brady and then manhandling Works, that 320-pound lineman, with one arm. That was incredible.
You tell Waddle that. That's, you're right. Yes. Don't back
that
down.
That was incredible. Look at the still shot, and it looks like he's it looks like something from Mortal Kombat.
I have my pants off with both of you. My pants are off along with you.
Excellent. Second of all, yeah, Tom Brady, I think, you know, it's a combination of things what got into his head, you know, walking into Soldier Field with his head high, saying, hey, you know what, I beat these Bears, coming out with another W, new offense, a new offensive line, and then, you know, just the ferociousness of our defense. I mean, I think all of that had to play into factor, and, you know, it just scrambled his brain. And, you know, towards the end, why was he not throwing to Jones up the middle? He had third down and fourth down opportunities. You know what? I think he was pulling the old dokey doke. And, you know,
what is that?
That's all I got to say.
What did he pull? What did he pull?
With that, the four fingers, trying to trick everybody. The old okey doke.
That's the okey doke. I didn't know.
Yeah.
That. All right. I think Tom Brady had a brain fart.
I like what Abdallah said, that Tom Brady's brain doesn't fart.
Yes, it does.
He was trying to get
it. He doesn't eat tomatoes. It doesn't fart.
You know what? You eat some avocado ice cream, and I guarantee you, your brain farts.
He was like,
what was that?
It's Tom Brady's brain.
What was it again?
It's not. It's
do that
not
again.
Like
who did that?
It doesn't make the noise like we do. When Tom Brady's brain farts, it goes.
Silent but deadly.
Do you practice that at home at times? It's just a, hey, you know what?
It's commonly known as.
I got 10 different farts. Here's.
In the fart community, that's known as the ninja fart. It's silent but deadly.
Waddle's World is coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird.
Let's get weird. Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Do you guys feel liberated that you're not watching a Bears game on Sunday, or are you going to miss it on Sunday? You feel liberation? I'm getting a head shake, yes. Are you guys, were you guys trying to get 36 in on Sunday?
Oh, yeah, we are. On Sunday. It might be the last golf round of the year.
Why don't you kick Tim out in the early round and maybe I'll join you?
I hope he's
You join
listening.
It? You're coming?
Where are you playing? You're playing up north?
Countryside.
Yeah.
Can Tim maybe just show up late? What time's the first tee time?
9:40?
What is that? That's too early for you?
No, not really. But it's kind of in the middle of the day. So, like, if I leave the house at 7:30... I'm not going to get home until like 3. It's like a full day event.
Yeah, we'll have Red Zone on in the cart, so it'll be good.
I love it when the Bears don't play when other teams are playing. I like looking at the other games on Red Zone. I like comparing having the other game on. And then I like having the Bears either in... I didn't mind the 3 o'clock window because there's not much else going on. But I like the prime time or the solo game so you can focus on the Bears game and you're not worried about, I got to keep one eye on Red Zone and one eye on another game and one eye on the Bears game. And I only have 2 eyes. Unless you're opening up that third eye and expanding your mind, then you can get it done.
Yeah, and we'll just in-game bet while we're on the tee box. It'll be great.
Oh, yeah. We'll have Red Zone on a phone.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
Very good. Yeah,
like, I kind of miss it on a Sunday, not having the Bears ready to play.
But it's both. I agree with the guys that like it's so. Every now and then, it's fun to have a Sunday where you could just watch the league.
That's
whether
true.
They're playing on Monday or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I like having the Bears on Sunday.
But having them, I mentioned this last week when they're in the 3 o'clock or 3:30 window, and you just got done watching the red zone, and teams are zipping up and down the field. Look at the Cleveland Browns with 525 yards of offense and 50,000 points against the Dallas Cowboys here in the early game. And then we're scratching across 240 yards and 9 points. You're like, what?
Would you rather be the Cowboys or the Bears? It's the Bears, right? I mean,
I don't think the Cowboys are like, give me a different team, and I may say differently. I don't think the Cowboys are going anywhere.
Right. That's what I mean. But they could zip it up and down the field, and they come back, and they could score with Dak, and they got lots of weapons, but their defense is bad, if not worse than the Bears'
offense.
You're
right. And listen, I'm not here to whiz on any a victory parade, but how far do you think this Bears team is going if they don't improve their offense, and I mean improve it by a large margin? Seriously, how far do you think they're going?
They're not going anywhere. They won't get to the playoffs.
And I'm glad that the coach is pissed.
4-1, but you can't go 6-5 the rest of the way if you continue to play at this level offensively.
I don't know about you, but I was glad to hear the tone from the coach. Now, I'm hoping that there's some introspection as well, and there's some self-scouting that's going to go on with these extra few days, and they're going to look at themselves as well as their players. Everyone needs to be better on that side of the football. You got 11 weeks. Show us what you got. We're happy you're 4-1. Come on now. Let's get better on offense.
Amen. Did you see a couple of these stats? The Bears in point differential, first through third quarters, are minus 34. That's 26th in the NFL. In the fourth quarter, they're plus 39. That's the best in the NFL.
I don't believe they've scored a third quarter point this year.
They haven't. They haven't scored a point in the third. And Mark Potash tweeted this out. The Bears are 4-1 despite leading for 68 minutes out of the 300 minutes they've played.
Do you know what? At 4-1, they've played five games. What their overall point differential is? Take a guess.
Well, that would be five, right?
The five games. I'm sorry. Through five games, what their total point differential is.
Well, I'm going by this stat. That wouldn't it be just plus
five? It's plus five. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I just gave you minus 34 and plus 39.
Oh, I was.
Yes.
Yeah. I just said, don't ask me to do math.
Through the
like
first
that.
Three quarters, the Bears are minus 34 in point differential. That's 26th in the league. In the fourth quarter, they're plus 39, which is number one in the league.
All right, gotcha.
So that evens out to plus five.
Sylvie, did you know that if the Bears won all these games, it was 5 points? They won all these games.
It's true.
It's amazing.
It is crazy. It is crazy, though, like to think that they're 4-1 and their point differential is 5 points.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. Anyway, the Jets have shut down their facility after a player tested
positive.
They
should have done that after the opener.
With or without the COVID positive test, I think that there are people around the league that would like them to shut down their... No.
And then Greeny doesn't have to even spend a minute on them.
Yes. I believe they were retesting They sent everyone home, but the one player that I believe was tested positive, the test is being rerun. I think that they were looking for that result later today, and as of now, they're scheduled to still host the Cardinals on Sunday. So, no new positive tests for the Titans or the Patriots.
That's great news.
Lack of new positive tests keeps the hopes of both teams playing their postponed games in Week 5 alive. Patriots set to play the Broncos at 5 o'clock Monday night. It's 4 o'clock our time, right? While the Titans are scheduled to face the Bills at 6 o'clock Tuesday. Monday night football, Tuesday night football, and pretty soon we're going to have Wednesday night football.
So wait, one of the games on Monday's in the afternoon?
It says here that the Patriots are set to play the Broncos at 5 p.m. Eastern time Monday.
Wow.
Did not know that. Did you guys know that? That's like it's an extra Monday game.
Instead of having it late, they're having it early before the featured game.
The Bears' total point differential is plus five.
Yes.
The Chargers are at New Orleans for the regular Monday night game, and Denver at New England is set for earlier. So there you go. You're gonna have two Monday night games and a Tuesday night game. I love it.
Me too. More
like I don't want people
better.
To be positive,
but no Thursday night game this week. Just remember that.
Yeah, that's okay. Yankees Hall of Famer Whitey Ford has passed away at the age of 91. What else do I have for you? Didn't you say, Adam, you had an update? Is Garoppolo is going to play this weekend?
Yes, Jimmy Garoppolo is. Kyle Shanahan has said that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play on Sunday.
We're doing Like It, Love It, Taste of It later. I struggled this week trying to pick games. I think it's a tough.
Too.
I think it's a really tough, I think it's going to be a tough situation. And here's a disturbing note from college basketball. Wichita State is investigating coach Greg Marshall's conduct. Did you see this story?
I did. It reminds me of the Rutgers. Wasn't it the Rutgers women's program that had big issues years and years ago?
I think so. Among the allegations made against Marshall stemming from the 2015-16 season, as reported by The Athletic, he pushed and later punched a former player. He put one of his hands around the staff member's neck. He followed and tried to punch a student athlete in another sport who used his parking spot near the basketball arena. Other allegations, as reported, involve him body shaming a player who is now battling anxiety and depression, and Marshall making racist remarks. Marshall told The Athletic that he has already been interviewed by school officials, and Wichita State confirmed today that it is conducting an internal investigation. And here is the final line of this story, which is the most head-scratching one of all. Marshall also released a statement Friday saying, quote, his coaching style isn't for everyone.
Yeah, that's
but
not...
But that is not demeaning or abusive.
If that's true, he won't coach again. Not today. Not in 2020. Right? I mean... Especially with all of that and with being racist.
How can you say my coaching style? My coaching style is not for everyone. Like, how about that part where you've got your hand around the throat, allegedly, of one of your assistants?
Yeah.
When we come back, the nuttiest story of the day and a little something we call Florida or Ohio.
The 3 o'clock hour of Waddle and Selby is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
You know what time it is?
Nuttiest story of the day.
And it's brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
Just give away some stuff. Well, not now, but okay. I will tell you about it now.
All right. Nice try, Waddle.
Yeah, nice try, Waddle.
Try to get people excited.
550 with Gene Greco.
Every Friday, the Screwball sign-off of the week. This Friday, we're giving away, courtesy of our best friends at Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey.
I'm going to get drunk tonight.
I hope you drink a bunch of Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey.
Going to
mix it with a little red wine, peanut butter, and jelly.
No. No.
So this week we are giving away not $50 because who does that? Not $100 because
come on.
Not $150
because why even show
what
up
can
for
you,
that?
What can you buy with that? Two bananas.
Depend on where you shop.
$200 to the Fireplace Inn.
Woo!
In Old Town.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you this. Chris Bleck and myself.
You guys have been everywhere.
We've had multiple dinners our friend.
Me too.
With our good friend,
Tim?
Nick Friedel.
Oh, Nick.
At the Fireplace Inn.
They had some ribs.
They got good food. Let's go.
They have great food, and they have great Screwball peanut butter.
What does Nick do after a big meal? Does he go home, or does he want to go out?
He unbuttons that top button like he's your old uncle.
Then he does the Orlando Shuffle. It's
and
where you're trying to walk
slow.
Somewhere, and he's walking 15 paces behind you because
he walks out of a restaurant. Like, whoever owns the restaurant. Is super proud because you're like, that dude ate a lot of food.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those shuffle. Yeah.
He's the opposite of Sylvie because Sylvie's the fastest walker on the planet.
Yes. I could see Nick doing that strut right now.
Belly out.
We're laughing.
Back. Yeah. Here we go. Orlando's
hey,
shuffle.
Guys.
Come on. You know, you just asked Nick. The my favorite thing about Nick is, can ask him a serious question even and say, hey, Nick, what'd you think about LeBron's triple-double? Wait, that wasn't even funny, Nick.
He's a great kid.
He's not a kid, but he is great.
I mean, he's younger than us. I mean, how old is Nick? He's younger than you guys, isn't he?
No, he's older than us.
He's only like 37.
Wow, I didn't think he was. He's pushing 40? Get it together, Nick.
That'd be nice.
Come on. Be
get
nice,
it together.
Man.
What's not together?
Be nice.
Covers the NBA.
You guys just said
he's going to be covering a Western Conference Finals team next year when the Warriors are back.
Yes, that's true.
All right, so what you want to wrap that up in?
Yeah, so when I tell you to call it in right after 5:45, right in that segment when Mark Jean Greco graces with his presence, be caller 20 then, and you will win $200 to the Fireplace Inn in Old Town.
It's nice. That's a good. I mean, they've been fantastic addition to this show.
Yes.
Okay, so here's your nuttiest story of the day: cocaine filled plane.
Cocaine crashes
in Mexico after a high-speed airborne chase. I didn't know there was any such thing as a high-speed airborne chase unless it was like fighter pilots.
Right.
What do you think? Planes went slow?
I didn't know there was a low-speed air chase other than fighter pilots, and I don't think they go
slow.
Yeah,
it's a blimp chase.
Yeah. Have you ever seen
so
that?
Like, I mean, if you've got like a Cessna being chased by another Cessna, I didn't think that that was a thing.
You got like
I see fighter pilots going after it. You know,
you got like the Goodyear blimp, and then you get like a Zeppelin, and they're chasing each other, but it's very slow.
Good times.
And they're taking very scenic shots of stadiums along the way.
I'm going to get you. A light aircraft carrying almost half a ton of cocaine. How'd you say that?
Cocaine!
Crashed in central Mexico after a high-speed airborne chase with authorities, and two people aboard passed away. That's not a good thing, the defense ministry said. Mexican military helicopters intercepted the plane in Mexican airspace and pursued it for hundreds of miles until it ran out of fuel and crashed. So, don't be flying around in a plane filled with cocaine.
That's good advice on a Friday.
You know what I'm just saying.
Never know what could happen on a weekend.
Yeah, do not get in a plane filled with cocaine thinking that everything's going to be cool. Because there's a good chance that the authorities are going to know that you've got massive quantities of booger sugar in your plane, and they may come after you, which may lead you to having to go on a a getaway chase. You may run out of gas and end up not making it. Okay?
Yep.
Monday's crash came less than 2 weeks after a business jet reported stolen in Mexico crashed in a Guatemalan jungle near a hidden airstrip, leaving two men dead near an onboard stash of drugs and weapons. Come on, people, let's follow the rules, okay? It's a simple piece of advice for me.
You guys want to play a game?
Yeah.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Ah! Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Bump, bump. Drunk, dancing, and screaming man arrested after kicking officers.
He's drunk, dancing, and he's kicking and screaming.
Police were dispatched to a location regarding a drunk man who at first refused to get out of the vehicle and then changed his mind and decided to walk home, which is always smart. An arriving officer located the intoxicated man who at the point demanded a ride home. Officers offered to call him a taxi or an Uber. The man declined a few minutes later. He called police to say that someone had stolen his cigarettes. An arriving officer located the smokes. Located the smokes, which were in the man's front pocket.
Yeah, I lost them.
The man was given a final warning regarding disorderly conduct and sent on his way. An officer stayed nearby to make sure he got home okay. That's when the residents started filming the officer with his cell phone before stopping to buy beer and then dancing in the police department's parking lot. After declining a call for an Uber, the man started yelling and dancing again. That's when he was arrested for disorderly conduct. The man swore at the officers. He told them he would eat them for breakfast, kick the plexiglass divider in the police cruiser, and spit on the windows.
How old is this perpetrator?
When being removed from the police car, the man started fighting and spitting. He kicked two officers and ripped a medic's shirt. The man was charged with disorderly conduct, assault, and criminal mischief.
How old was he?
It does not say.
This is, though, I picture a young Mark Jean Greco on the campus of Dayton.
Really?
You know, and so I'm going to go Dayton, Ohio.
I'm going to say this is totally Tampa and a shirtless Bucks fan pissed that Tom Brady didn't know that it was fourth down, then went berserk.
Didn't happen last night.
Give me a suburb of Cleveland. Suburb of Cleveland.
How about North Olmsted?
Yeah, let's go with that. Ohio.
All right. A man was arrested for being drunk, dancing, and screaming and kicking officers in Parma Heights, Ohio.
Whoa, yeah. That's close. Parma Heights is in your neck of the neck.
Not that far from Cleveland.
Yeah. Waddle, you said totally Tampa, so you lose. So don't celebrate.
I was celebrating for Chris.
You got close.
Don't be an ass.
You lose. You loser.
I was pointing at Chris.
What do you think you are, Tom Brady? What's your deal?
I was pointing at Chris.
What do you got, four fingers?
You got it.
Yeah, you want another story? You want another story?
Four fingers?
Yeah, maybe you should have had a feeling about Florida or Ohio.
Trying to celebrate that.
I'm celebrating with Chris.
Yes, I appreciate it.
I got it right, too. I didn't know you had to get the town right all of a sudden.
Don't be an ass hat.
2 minutes away, the Bears did deliver not only for Chicago, but they delivered nationally. I'll tell you about that in 2 minutes.